नमो विष्णुपराय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले वेदांत स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Is there incense burning somewhere? Oh, okay. Huh? Yeah, please. Release me. So thank you for coming to the second part of our presentations or discussions on devotee care. And as you know, we are discussing this book, this guidebook, which is a new guidebook made by the Devotee Care Committee. And it describes the vision, mission, and aims of the Devotee Care Committee, and also four areas of care. And there are stories that illustrate from the experience of some of the devotees who were doing devotee care for 15, 20 years, like Vijay Venugopal and Prema Padmini from Persian Gulf, from Middle East. They're leaders of the Bhakti Vriksha program by Jayapataka Swami. Then Sridham and Kishori, Sridham Prabhu and Mother Kishori from Chaupati. They are, have been counselors for 16 years. They are grihasthas, they have a daughter. There are some others who have written stories to illustrate these four areas of care. It's at the end of the of this. So how many of you already have this guidebook? One. Okay, one, two. Yeah. I sent it to Cipri also. So few of you have it, but it's available. It's available. I can send it to you if you give me your email, or Mother Malati can send it. So it's something that I recommend that you study for the next, maybe if you are busy now during this December, but maybe starting next year. But and how to read this guidebook is that you can read one page or two pages a day. You don't have to read everything at once. Or you can read one section, which is few pages, and in this way keep your spirit of care alive and get yourself, have yourself or make yourself inspired every single day to do devotee care. And if you're really, if you're so reading so much and hearing so much about the devotee care and like meaning the devotee care of others, then you will naturally start to take care of yourself. Because devotee care is also for you, it's not only for others. So one reason why we are sometimes upset with others and frustrated and disappointed is that we don't have a very good relationship with ourselves. It's not always very positive, it's not very encouraging, and it's often quite self-destructive. Many people, including devotees, are experts at self-sabotage, doing things that are against their interest. So devotee care and guidance program wants to eliminate these kinds of habits, eliminate the habits of self-sabotage. Hare Krishna. Establish the habits of self-help or self-improvement. or self-encouragement, or self-support. So you want to keep yourself fit. You want to keep yourself fit to be able to serve. There is a saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. Although we understand that we are not the doer, that we are not the only doer, and that we cannot do anything without Krishna's sanction, we also want to understand that we are responsible. We are responsible for our lives. We are supposed to take initiative, not wait. We, devotee, doesn't say, why Krishna doesn't do this, why Krishna doesn't do that. He is asking, how can I do something? How can I take initiative? How can I do something for Krishna? How can I attract his attention? One thing, if you take care of others, that you attract Krishna's attention. In the text 16 of the 17th chapter of the Gita, this verse describes the austerities of the mind. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we should train the mind to think of the welfare of others. Train the mind to think of the welfare of others. And you may think, this is not right. How can I do that? I mean, I'm not taken care of. Nobody is taking care of me. But actually, by taking care of others, by becoming selfless, although you may be still selfish, you are making advancement. And you are also attracting Krishna's attention, and you are getting spiritual credits, and you are ensuring your spiritual advancement by that. But at least you have to take basic care of yourself, of your spiritual life, of your physical health. Make sure that your mind is peaceful. Usually the greatest disturbance is through the mind. Somehow bodily pains we can deal with, and for spiritual challenges we also have guidance and we know what we are supposed to do. But when we have to deal with the mind, it's so difficult. So this is where people need guidance. They need guidance of someone who can help them get free from their own crazy mind. In the Bible it is said, and the truth will set you free. So if you give people the truth of the Bhagavad Gita, then they become free. I had this summer a lot of experience overseas, devotees coming in great anxiety to talk, or usually seminar kind of, if I give a seminar, then it kind of steers something up, and then they start thinking, and then they decide to come for a session. It's kind of introduction to resolving their problems. Some get inspired, some get induced by others, and they come with all kinds of problems, and they go away free, at least for some time, until the mind jumps in again. But at least they see that they can be free if they are in a proper consciousness. There is an amazing amount of smoke here, of incense smoke. Amazing. I've never experienced this, because I'm suffocating like anything. This open, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so hopefully air will come from there. If you become cold, you tell me. We can close it. But for now, I really need air. Otherwise, I will faint. You have to like put a wet towel on me or something. So, this is something. You see, many of our devotees are in anxiety because of something. Many devotees are stuck. And usually the stuck is in the mind, in the heart. So we have to be able to know how to help them get unstuck, to have ideas, tools, principles, examples which are relevant to them. And if you read always with the idea to serve devotees and learn, okay, this may help this one, this may help that one, if you read some professional literature where you get some tools that can help you, like this model for goal setting or something, then the more you absorb and assimilate and learn, then when the time comes that you are sitting with somebody to help them, you have so many resources at your disposal, and Krishna inspires you to use the right ones. Or Krishna can inspire you to use the right ones. So because he sees that you want to help, then he's giving you the right direction, what to use and how to help every particular devotee, because every devotee is different. So this is one of the principles we mentioned yesterday, one of the five. It's highly personalized. But how can you do this with others if you don't know how to do it with yourself? You are still disconnected from your own soul because you are in the mind. Or we are in the mind. You know, we are too much in the mind, and we don't ask ourselves, so who am I? What am I doing here? You know, I'm looking like a devotee, I'm trying to behave like a devotee, I'm reading like a devotee, I'm chanting like a devotee, I'm eating like a devotee, and you know, but is this me? Is my heart into it? Am I present here and now, and you know, fully dedicated to this moment and to Krishna and to my spiritual life? Is this really me? People lose their identity in Krishna consciousness. They don't know anymore who they are. They're not this old guy who was a punk or a hippie or whatever, and now they're not a pure devotee and then something in between, and they are confused. Oh, thank you so much. Wonderful. They're confused that who am I? So also a big issue in helping devotees is to help them find their identity. First, re-establish the fact that you are a spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna. And see how they understand this point. Then, see what you are on this planet, in this moment, in this family, in this community. What is your role? What person you are? What occupation you are doing? What is your dharma? What is your varna? What is your ashram? Dharma has varna, dharma, and ashrama dharma. Where are you? What are you? Where are you situated? Sometimes we were joking. I visited Dinadayal Prabhu and Ramani, and we were joking. I was saying for myself that I'm like Hiranyakashipu's situation, I'm neither a grihastha nor a vanaprastha. I am neither a devotee nor a karmi. I am there was five things I forgot, something about that. I don't want to speak too much. But sometimes you're in a situation which looks like very undefined, and so I'm not in anxiety about that, and actually, I think my situation is very defined, what I want to do and who I am. But sometimes we are not sure, and we have to help devotees. So what to do when devotees say, I don't know what I want to do? So I don't know what I want to do. You can tell them, well, you have a choice. If you don't know what to do, you should know that there is a choice and you can choose what you want. So therefore you have to look at the options. there are some options. Sometimes devotees say there are too many options. But still. So sometimes we speak about this point called specialization. And it's difficult. You come into ISKCON, you do all kinds of things, and you know, you have all kinds of roles, you do all kinds of services, and in 10 years, you are schizophrenic. You're not sure, you know, what am I? I'm Brahmachari, Rihasta, Guru Maharaj, personal servant, Sankirtan devotee, cook, pujari, manager. But after some time in Krishna consciousness, after 5, 10, 15 or 20 years, it's not bad to start looking for your identity. You may be like eternal student. You can take Bhaktivedanta College courses one after the other. You know, 3-year course, 4-year course. 3-year course, 4-year course. You already have gray hair or something. 6-year course. So, student forever. That's not bad. So you can say, I'm a student. I'm going to be a student my whole life. And Krishna may say, okay, but I would like you also to be a teacher. So you say, well, that's too much for me. So you can be a student, that's nice. But if you're a little bit elderly student, they will tell you, teach or help younger students, become a mentor or something like that. You can't have student forever. But if you identify yourself with a student, it's nothing wrong with that. But I think you will have challenges. Krishna will test you with that approach or that identity. So everybody has to find themselves, and you should help them to do that. To find their varna, to find their ashrama. Sometimes, you know, we are trying to find a husband, we are trying to find a wife, and it doesn't go so easy. In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to find a good husband. You know, most husbands are mommy's boys, and they're supposed to be fathers and husbands and, you know, providers of bread and things like that. So, and then ladies also, thank you. Ladies are supposed to be good cooks, but how can we find... Probably most ladies are good cooks, but I'm just joking. But, you know, and they are supposed to not go out and sew and look at the floor and things like that. But it's impossible in this age. So why should I look on the floor when I can look at the TV? Something like that. So it's not easy to find a good wife, a good husband. And when you go through the Grihastha Vision Team marriage questionnaire, you faint. You said, this is crazy. One devotee told me that Prabhu, he's Brahmachari in England, I would like to get married. Okay, let's look at the marriage questionnaire. When he read it, he said, Prabhu, I don't want to get married. And I think he's still not, after 5-6 years, because this questionnaire shows you what awaits you. Because you are dreaming. You're dreaming about ideal family life, which is a chapter from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Which one is this? 714. But if you read this chapter, it's wonderful. You can have your ideal family life, but you have to find a partner who wants to practice this with you. The beginning is associate with sadhus, do yagya, you know, give charity. These are like 3 principles for Grihasthas. And then people think Grihastha life means my wife has a pretty face, we have a TV, and we eat pizza. Almost every day. This is like kind of avant-garde, modern Hare Krishna Grihastha life. But no, the Bhagavatam says, sadhus, you know, sadhu come to your home, you have to be Krishna conscious, you are forced to be Krishna conscious. You know, sadhu is, you know, he can feel 3 kilometers away when you are in Maya. What to speak, like 3 meters. Then yagya, sankirtan yagya especially, then charity, dana. Shri Radha Gopinath wants to purify me completely before I leave Radhadesh. I hope by Saturday I will be able to sing, because we want to have a concert with Krishangi. I hope I don't lose my voice. I'm overusing it every day. So devotees, Prabhupada said our mission is sarve sukhino bhavantu. You know what does it mean? Who knows what does it mean? Okay, you know, just shut up. Who doesn't know? who can guess? You want to guess? No, okay. Who wants to guess? You want to guess? Sarve sukhino bhavantu? Of those who doesn't know, who volunteered to try? It's kind of a weird proposal. Oh, you knew it already? No, okay, you're guessing. And you guessed well, yeah. Sarve, all, sukhino, happy, bhavantu, living entities. Let everyone become happy. The mission of this movement is to make everyone happy except ISKCON devotees. As soon as you join, we make sure you're miserable. But as long as you're a guest, then we treat you as a king. You know, Atiti Bhagavan, the God guest, has come. God has come to our house. We wash his feet. We sprinkle the water on the heads of our family members and on our head also. So now I don't care about all living entities. We have to make devotees happy. Not all living entities. Forget about them. Forget about preaching. When people tell me, "Yo, Prabhu, we have to do outreach." Outreach. Outreach, like outside preaching, I get goosebumps out of nervous breakdown. Why? Because we have done so much outreach, so many people have come and so many people have left. So just forget about outreach. We have to keep those who are here. Not only keep them, but make them happy. I gave a presentation to the Alachua board. Alachua is a big temple. Around that temple there is a few thousand devotees, senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples. So Alachua board, there was four or five managers, leaders, even the GBC for Florida was there. And I made a presentation of Prabhupada's quotes about what he says about the leader's duty. And the main leader's duty is to make everyone happy. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu has to do this for everybody because he's the temple president or together with Manohar Prabhu. I'm not saying this. I'm saying that we have to take this responsibility to make everyone, first our devotees happy and then other people happy also, because we are the leaders of society, devotees. We are supposed to be at least guides, if not leaders. So, sarve sukhino bhavantu. Our service is helping devotees succeed. Helping devotees succeed. But succeed in what? Succeed in becoming happy. Succeed in becoming happy and more productive. GBC has declared that they want more devotees and happy devotees. More devotees and happy devotees. So I think everybody will agree in our movement with these four words, but we have to make it happen. More devotees and happy devotees. So if we want more devotees, I think we should make those who are here happy, and then we can bring more people, and we already have a system how to make them happy. Otherwise, we bring more people who are confused and frustrated as those who are here now. So it doesn't make sense. The succession of activities doesn't make sense. First, make a strong foundation, strong, loving society as much as possible. We are in the material world, it can be super ideal, you know, immediately, but it can get better, and then we invite people, and they see how you are looking at each other. I said, these people like each other, I want to join them. You know about that life member who said, I will never join ISKCON. Why? I will always be a guest. Because I saw how you are treating your members. You treat me very nicely, but if I join, I'm not sure. So, he's in Texas, Dallas, Texas. Radha Maharaj speaks about that. And we want devotees' experience to improve in this moment. What is your experience of accommodation here? What is your experience of food here? What is your experience of people meeting you while you are passing through the corridor? Well, I notice that they don't notice me. Not here, I'm speaking about any temple. Because I don't know how it's here, I have just come. And most people who see me, they notice me as far as I'm concerned, but I don't know how other people feel. But in any temple, I'm just speaking in general, ISKCON's culture. So we don't want people to say that I notice, nobody notices me. And this is an experience. There was an outrageous theater play in a New Vrindavan Festival of Inspiration 2 years ago, 2009. There is this devotee, do you know his name? He's Yadu. He's an amazing actor and director. He illustrated ISKCON in the 60s, ISKCON in the 70s, ISKCON in the 80s, ISKCON in the 90s, and maybe 2000. And one of them was, I think, ISKCON in the 90s. You come to the temple, there is nobody there. Nobody's there. Is there anybody there? And then, nobody. Temple is open, but nobody's there. Then they hear something ringing behind the curtain. They get scared. What is this? But still, nobody's showing up. So if we have if somebody comes and nobody's there, then you have like a recording that automatically starts and say, look, no one is there, but soon somebody will be here. Wait. So that's personal. Instead of just having like a quiet and like silence, and they are just confused. And then the question about money, the question about maintenance. Also, why people don't give money? Because they don't feel we care. Now, who is we? Everyone, you, I, everybody else. It's not just the temple management. Yesterday we saw. We discussed. We read. I'm ISKCON and I care. So this means every one of us. So Krishna, actually, Prabhupada said Krishna inspires people to give. One journalist asked Prabhupada, "How do you maintain yourself?" And he said, "Krishna inspires people like you to give us money." He was shocked. He was shocked. I don't know. Maybe he probably gave some donation later or something. Prabhupada is so confident and has faith in Krishna, and Krishna will tell people give. And I have last 2 years, I'm not working, no income, no nothing, and I'm just watching. Krishna is telling people give him money, not only for covering travel but donation. And sometimes I have so much that I can give to people who don't have. It's not always like that. If you catch me at that time, we can discuss it. You may have more than like theoretical benefit from me. So, I forgot what was the point. Yeah, confident about money. So, let's speak a little bit about giving. This is a powerful principle of care. Those who give become fearless because they know if I give, Krishna will always reciprocate. If I give my time to people, if I invest in people, if I give them gifts. And Mother Malati wonderfully yesterday said, I have actually published it on my blog today. Maybe I should put your name under there. It's not fair. I just stole it from you. She said that the essence of devotee care is six loving exchanges. Dadati, pratigrinati, guyam akyati prichati, bhungte bojayate chaiva. I knew it. I was just testing you. It's 1-0. Okay, so it's with the Shamrita, 3, 4, okay. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains how we do it, and it's a wonderful thing. And we are giving prasadam, and especially receiving prasadam. We are sometimes giving gifts, especially for the birthday, and receiving gifts, especially for the birthday, but we are not having high quality confidential conversations. So this one third of this whole formula, guya makati prichati, is lacking in our movement. That's why we need mature devotees who will have deep conversations with devotees. So if you're a senior devotee, I give you a task, I give you a challenge, that when people talk to you, they come out of that room and think, wow, what was this? This person completely shook me. Like, and I didn't even notice it. And now I have a new hope, I have a new vision, I have a new direction, and I'm so happy. This should be the result of our conversations with people. This is devotee care. And when we meet anybody, they should think, who was that? Who is this guy or this lady? What is this? They become intrigued. So we are not making impression on people to become famous or to have some subtle sense gratification, but because we want them to become attached to Krishna and to the process of Krishna consciousness. So you should become like a dynamite. You have to give up all humility, become puffed up for Krishna, become prominent, become a trusted authority. You cannot say, you know, I'm not... The number one excuse that I have heard over the last 10 years in ISKCON is I'm not qualified. And I don't buy into it anymore. If you are not qualified. If you are not qualified, learn, practice. Do push-ups every day, mental push-ups, physical push-ups. Push people, push yourself, do something. But just don't stand still and think that you are humble, because you are not. Yesterday, or when was Ekadashi? Yesterday, I woke up, I have difficult nights, I'm coughing, and slept little. And there was this Martin. You know Martin? Bug? Like stinky Martin? We don't call him Martin here. Maybe you call him something else. in our country, we call him stinky, like stinks, the bug that stinks if you touch it. Martin. Not. It smells bad, stinking. It smells bad. It's bad. So I was thinking, this bug is exactly like me. If you, you know, touch my false ego, watch out. There will be blood, sweat, tears coming out, and you know, all kinds of this pus and bile and mucus and stool and so many things. This will be like a huge shower of bad things. If somebody dares to insult us, if somebody dares to say something bad about us, if somebody just touches us like this, like I touched this bug and my whole room was thinking. And fortunately, it was very slow, so I was able to catch it and put it out, and then open the windows and make a draft and the wind to ventilate, but it was thinking very significantly. So this kind of a reaction to things will not help us. So how can we develop that spirit of care? One way to do it is to consider every devotee as precious. because they are so rare on this planet. Even the most fallen devotee, even the most conditioned devotee who has most trouble, they're better than anybody else. So therefore they're precious. We hold them like this. Therefore here you can see the picture. The whole metaphor about the plant, it's not there. I don't know why I didn't print it. Somebody has it? I don't have it here. It must be there. This thing with the plant, you can show it to everybody from there. I don't, somehow, it was black and white. It's not here. It's not there. Is there? It's like two hands holding soil and a plant. You know that, yeah. Yeah. There is an Irish blessings. It say, may God hold you in the palm of His hand. Is it hands? Yeah, you can show it. Yeah, hands and the plant. So this is how we should hold every devotee like this, mentally. That, you know, we want to take very, very sensitive care of each and every devotee. Because we don't want to lose anyone. If somebody goes away, we should not think they are not sincere. We should think, because I didn't care for them, they left. I didn't show enough love, concern. Or I didn't tell them when something was wrong, because I didn't care. They are doing something, some offense or whatever, and I didn't tell them, because also it was unpleasant, they would hate me. But if you help people, even if you have to do something unpleasant later on, if they are sincere, they will be grateful if you tell them, look, this is wrong. And that moment you are unpopular, but then later on they see, oh, you helped me so much. Because I could have burned my fingers. So if you start thinking that every devotee is precious, and now you are not unlimited in how much care you can provide, so you choose. You choose few people to care for, but nicely. And the beginning of care is you start caring for those that you like. This is easier. But when you become advanced, then you start caring for those you don't like. Or at least doing something for them to stretch yourself and to attract Krishna's attention. My dear Lord, I hate this devotee, but I want to do something for him because he is dear to you and you will be pleased. I heard in the class that you would be pleased, so I'm trying this to see how it works. So please accept my service. I mean, that's sincere, isn't it? You're just open to tell Krishna. What can we do? We have anarthas, we are going to get purified by our sadhana, but without Krishna's mercy you can't do anything. I'm going to chant and purify this anartha, and then this anartha becomes even harder because you're doing austerities. Who can do austerities today? Now more and more, it's amazing, our ISKCON must be growing because more and more devotees are taking some diets. It's amazing. They're giving up all these favorite ISKCON preparations. Vedic. We have to eat Vedic food, which is deep fried and with tons of sugar. And now, you know, some fruits and what else is healthy? Buckwheat, what? Salads, spinach. So something healthy. One Mataji in Croatia, she was joking. She said, you know, as soon as my Guru Maharaj comes, her guru is one Maharaj. I'm just nasty. Her guru is Smita Krishna Swami. And she said, you know, she makes tries to make healthy and tasty. And as soon as my Guru Maharaj says that what I gave him that is healthy, I know it's not tasty. This is a nice way, his way to say that maybe you should put some spices or something. It doesn't have any taste. So healthy doesn't, believe me, healthy doesn't mean it's not tasty. It can be tasty, but healthy. Like raw food can be so tasty. I was in New York. You know, who knows Divyambara? One. She's very famous. You don't know her anyway. BBT and anyway. So she's doing raw cooking classes. So it's not cooking, but it's class. Raw food cooking classes, and people are coming, paying money to the Bhakti Center, and they made two preparations in 5 hours. These are new students. And you know, they made a cheesecake without cheese and without sugar. And I tasted it. I tasted it and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And the soup, oh, soup was even better. Wonderful soup. It's not just, you know, bland soup. It's very tasty soup. But it doesn't ruin your system. Then I came to Manchester. I gave this recipe to a 14-year-old girl, Lakshmi. We are friends and she always writes me. And she wanted to make something for Krishna and then give it to me. And I gave her a recipe. And she did some speculation. And she took almonds milk and make something like a cream, basically. And this cake was like 3 times better than New York. I ate 3 huge pieces. I was recovering for 4 or 5 hours. But it's like in the old days. I mean, like last 25 years in ISKCON after the feast. But it was healthy. It was healthy. You know, it was a raw cake. And there was no sugar, no milk products, and other things that half kill you slowly. So, anyway, what was the point we were discussing? Devotee care. Oh, no, I mean, this is physical care, like health. What? Yeah, it has to be tasty. Healthy food doesn't have to be tasteless. So you can be creative and do, but don't kill yourself with your diet. You are in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s now. You can't be like these young people. They cannot eat stones and digest. So you have to be careful, otherwise you will, you know, you will be going back to Godhead very soon. Or wherever you will go, I'm not sure. I mean, wherever you are destined to go. We will lose you, but we need you to stay and preach. There is so many people that need you. You didn't even start to preach or to care. You are just testing it to see how it's going. And we are all like this. We didn't get into it 100%, but Krishna wants us to dive into it. You know, I mean, tell me, just honestly, aren't these people worthy of your love? These wonderful people, these devotees. I mean, who comes to Krishna and do these crazy austerities? You know, 4 top activities in the material world. We give them up and chanting God's names. It's so hard. 16 rounds. I need 16 hours for 16 rounds. 4 hours per round. I mixed it up. Yeah. It's so hard. And they're doing it. They're serving Krishna and, you know, doing austerities. And they're fascinated by the deities and try to serve the guru. These are amazing people. These are special souls. And maybe your little service for them will save you. You don't know, because maybe they are actually more exalted than you. Because maybe this is not their first life, and it's my first lifetime I'm serving, after, I don't know, millions of lifetimes. So if I serve them, I get so much spiritual credit and benefit. So you should just say, I just have to start really, really loving and serving these people. They are so special. And when you see a devotee, like Ramani, who knows Ramani? Do you know the girls? All the ladies know Ramani and few boys. So, you know, Ramani is such an amazing girl. I can't wait until she speaks so that I can speak to her. I'm going to come to Radha just because of her, regularly, you know, at least once a year. So, you know, when she sees you, she just, you can see, she's so delighted to see you. She's... and raises her arms. I told Dina Dayal, she's my man, or woman, because in my seminars, this is my main thing. Raise your arms and you cannot be depressed. And she's doing this all the time. I say, make me a picture of her for my slideshow. She's already practicing the top tool of my seminars. And I didn't even train her. I didn't even do anything. Didn't coach her, didn't train her. So look at Ramani and learn from her. She's so happy. She's always happy. And when she gets prasadam, peaceful. Either she's in ecstasy or she's peaceful. And it's such a concentration, such absorption. It's samadhi. Like, very, like Prabhupada, almost like you see Prabhupada very peacefully. He didn't want to talk during prasadam. She's just absorbed in this. When we are eating prasadam, we are thinking about so many things. Or talking. But she's focused on prasadam. I have no idea who this soul is. She's happy. She likes prasadam. She likes everyone. Everyone. So when we are going to be like Ramani? Dear devotees, who is this? I mean, this guy, why did you let him give class? I mean, that's weird. He's speaking some weird things. But Ramani is, we don't know who she is. So, I think somebody said of Acharyas, so now let's go to the Shastra and support what I was saying all the last 15 minutes. One of the Acharyas said, if you're not really excited when you see a Vaishnava, that's offensive. You know? Somebody said that. You remember that from some courses? Huh? In Skanda Purana. If you are not delighted, if you're not so happy to see a Vaishnava, that's actually offensive. So let us practice, be really delighted. And you may say, well, it will be artificial. I don't care. Act. Pretend. But do it. Pretend. Give me a wonderful artificial smile when you see me. I will give you a sweet. Because at least I see you are trying. You're trying to be happy when you see somebody who is a devotee. You're trying to be a devotee. This, I think Krishna wants us to do that. And if people see how we see each other, how we greet each other, you know, we offer obeisances, Vancha Kapatara Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vyavancha Patitanam Pavane Vaishnava Vibhanaha. I pray that you go back to Godhead as soon as possible. This is not love and respect. This is not love and respect. So that our society can be peaceful. So okay, devotees are getting very excited now. I'm going to lower my volume and calm down my presentation. So so if we practice loving devotees, even if it's a little bit artificial in the beginning, there is another thing that I'm struggling with, to be honest. It's called hugging. You know, it's not easy for me. I'm not accustomed to this. Like in Greece, I mean, not only devotees, like Prabhus hug you, but everybody hugs you. So hugging is also a very special kind of exchange. And there is a whole debate on, I think, Dandavats. Is it bona fide? Well, maybe it saves somebody's life if you hug them. I'm like a chronicle unhugger, but I'm voting for hugging. At least others can do it. Because I think there is some value in hugging. So why I'm saying this? Because, you know, I try to hug devotees. They hug me. And sometimes it's a very strong, genuine. One devotee from Albanian Albanian origin, from another country, he was, I was assisting him in something, and he was very grateful, and he hugged me that almost cracking my bones a little bit. And I tried to hug him very sincerely. I like him, you know, I feel for him, and he was suffering so much, and somehow we kind of cooled things down. And so I was trying to practice that, and he was happy with my hug also, but he hugged me strongly, stronger. And so I think I'm getting better at that, although it was very difficult for me to do. So hugging is supposed to be a symptom of love, and then, you know, how do you receive prasadam? When we were in festivals in Germany, maybe you sometimes attended in the time of Hare Krishna Swami, you know, some devotees, I don't know if they were German devotees, but some devotees, server is coming and, you know, trying to give them something, and then he says, like this. This means more. I said, my goodness, is this like a new style of relating to devotees? I was shocked. So if somebody gives you something, say thank you 108 times. One loud and 107 in your mind. Be so grateful. And Yadunandan Swami has a wonderful habit. Whenever you thank him, he says, my pleasure. It's a wonderful thing. You thank people for thanking you. You can go thanking and thanking, like, thank you for thanking me. No, thank you for thanking me for thanking you. It's never enough of appreciation. It's never enough of gratitude. But we think, why should I thank him? It's Krishna's mercy that he can serve me. He will get purified from his anarthas. I'm senior devotee. He'll get purified. But I will not get purified because I'm not grateful. So, I was mixing these four things that we discussed today, and I didn't want to present it in a linear fashion, but the four areas are spiritual care, social care, emotional care, and physical care. And the second one we have neglected very much in ISKCON. Even the third one we have neglected. Physical care, so-so, we were also very good in neglecting our body, either by too much physical austerity or too much sense gratification, especially in the form of overeating. So, we have to take care of our body, we have to make sure our mind is peaceful. Therefore, we need spiritual guides who will free devotees' minds from anxiety, free them from the inability to forgive, because this is a big stuck when you cannot forgive. It's a big stuck. Your heart is stuck. You can't move forward. Prabhupada says, if you don't forgive, you can't make spiritual advancement. So help them to forgive. Help them to let go of the past. Help them to become more positive. Help them to stop blaming Krishna and ISKCON, but to start taking responsibility. Also blaming yourself. Free their mind. And then spiritually, renew their enthusiasm for chanting, for reading, for associating with devotees, for preaching, for worshipping. Very simple. But we have to renew again and again and again. Okay, I will stop here for tonight. Are there any one or two questions? Yeah? When you tell me thank you, I say, it was my pleasure to serve you. I respond to your thank you like that. Okay? Basically, I'm thanking you for thanking me. Any other? Well, people don't always use it. They'd always say. It is. It may be normal if you're cultured. You know, for cultured people it's normal. But most people are not cultured. And most devotees are not very, I don't say they're uncultured, but they're not very much trained in these finer aspects of behavior. So our policy is don't ignore anybody. The greatness of a man is seen how he is treating insignificant, so-called insignificant people, you know, little people, how you are treating. Yeah. It's very easy to be respectful with your guru or with anybody who is big in any way, or with some celebrity coming here, you know, we fall down. But actually, it's how do you treat a devotee who is spaced out, insignificant, unproductive, you know, whatever. How do you treat him or her? Then your character is tested. Any other? There was some other. Yes. Oppose. Yeah. No. Well, it depends on the relationship. If there is trust, you can say a lot. But you have to earn trust of another person. They have to be convinced that you have their best interest at heart. Then they will be open to your correction or criticism or whatever you would want to say. But also have in mind the ratio. You know ratio? Like 1 to 5, 1 to 4, that's ratio. 1 to 3, that, you know, this relationship between 1 and another number. You understand? So the ratio should be, for every correction, there should be at least 3 praises or positive statements. But it's better if it's 5 or 7. If I said to people, you know, for you want to tell people what's wrong, okay, you can do it, but for every time you tell them something is wrong, 7 things that they have done well, 7 good qualities, and then they say, I will not criticize anybody anymore. Because there will be so many of these things that I don't know how I'm going to manage this. Like if I had 3 criticisms, that's 21 praises, my goodness, that's torture. So you can criticize, but you have to praise. Yeah? We are getting new people in and our people are leaving. They're going to say, Haribol, I don't care. Because you don't care. So if you want, if you want such kind of a strategy, it's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but you can say, well, what can we do if you want such a strategy? People coming in, people coming out, new people coming in. It's just, it's a variety of new faces. But I'm proposing that every devotee is precious. Basically, Bhagavad Gita says every soul is amazing. 229, Bhagavad Gita says, Ashcharyavat. And what speak of every devotee is amazing? You know, every devotee is amazing. So if we see every devotee as amazing, you respect them more, and then you say that you feel honored to serve them. You feel honored to provide some care.
It takes people
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This will continue. Stop. No, always tell me. I get just too fired up. So you always tell me to stop. Okay, we will stop here. So we continue tomorrow, 7:30. And thank you very much. If you have any questions, think of them, write them down, and then bring them tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Sorry for taking this.